are, folks. British People's League. BritishPeople'sLeague.com on air for you. How are you today? We're doing fine. I say we. We have Indiana Mike standing by. You say hello to the worldwide audience, Mike.
Hi, everybody. It's Indiana Mike.
Excellent start. It is June the 5th. Now, those who know their history will know that 67 years ago today began the invasion of Normandy that started to put an end to the horrible Second World War. I think it was called Operation Sea Lion or something of that nature. And it was 67 years ago today, D-Day. And Mike and I were just talking before the show, Indiana, Mike and I. And the few veterans that are left, and I don't care what side they were on, you know, war is hell. And the memories of these fellas, it must be horrible. War is bloody hell. That's all there is to it. And I was telling Indiana Mike just before the show, too, one of the veterans was on one of the news stations last night. And he seemed pretty damn fit because he'd have to be pretty old. And he was saying how he will talk until he croaks because the young generation doesn't realize what a horrible war it was. And to prove it, that they don't even know what they're talking about in history classes anymore, the school teacher introduced him recently to a class as a veteran of World War XI because the one and one, two figures and the idiot school. Yeah. But the bottom line is war is hell. It's always the little guy that goes off fighting the wars for the big shots. And that's all there is to it all throughout history. And the limbs and the sacrifice and the blood and guts on both sides is just horrible. So, you know, we can take a pause and remember them for sure. I guess when's your Memorial Day? Just recently, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes, it was a week ago last Monday.
Yeah, and ours is in November. So that's what it's all about. I hate to say the word, it's not even casting blame here. It's not. It's always the big shots, the armament sellers on both sides. And, I mean, you know, it's interesting during the war, none of the Rothschild castles had a bomb drop on them. And yet you've got American companies were financing both sides. And the business people make money out of both sides. And it's all through history. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on war, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, you lead a... Well, I won't say Indiana Mike leads a peaceful life. He's had odd bit of domestic turmoil in life like all of us, but I think Indiana sounds pretty... You don't read it in the newspapers, which is good news, Mike. You don't read about Indiana much in the newspapers.
No, it's still pretty... Indianapolis is turning into a war zone, just like Detroit and Chicago and some other places.
The cities again, eh? Yeah.
It used to be quite nice and safe, but it's no longer the case. But I live out in a very small town and up northeast, quite a northeast corner of Indiana, and it's still pretty peaceful here. We haven't had too many troubles yet, but you can see it's starting to come.
Yeah, well, it just can't be avoided. I mean, obviously the core of Detroit and Cleveland and Cincinnati and Indianapolis, they're all going to spread out, just as happened
right.
In California. And anyone who doesn't think it's going to spread throughout the Western world, of course, they're in escape zone, either on cocaine over the weekend or in the beer parlors, the older generation, and just ignore it all. That's why we have a hard time really taking off with our patriotic organizations. Well, I'm envious of Mike. Mike's work schedule doesn't allow him to go to meetings as such, but you are a member of the Tea Party, right, Mike?
Oh, I guess you could say I'm a member of the Tea Party, but like you said, my work schedule is such that I work evenings, and it's just hard for me to make the meetings, so I haven't been to a meeting for quite a while. I wish I could go.
Yeah, well, you've got...
Strong. I know they're still going strong. I get their updates, and they're still chugging along, and they've really made an impact on the last elections here. They're trying to cut down some of the spending in Washington, D.C., but it's a real battle, so we'll have to see.
Well, at least they're there. Again, as we were briefing ourselves as to the show today earlier, it came up that I don't even know how to say this, you know. I don't like saying it. In all of Canada, folks, there's only three names known in the patriotic white right who stick up for rights of British Canadian or German Canadian, European Canadian, Polish Canadian. White is the main accent, of course. But even with all those histories of those peoples I just mentioned, there's only three names known publicly. And I don't, one of the other two I consider a personal friend, but I don't agree with his approach. And the third fellow I don't have any respect for at all. So I'm not going to give free publicity on the air. But it's kind of pathetic, Mike. I mean, we're about one-tenth of the U.S. population, you know, around 34 million mark. And I guess you've got around 340 million. Is that what you'd think?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So we got one-tenth. So we should have one-tenth of the activity. Well, we sure as hell do not. It's a hard road to hoe. And as I've said to Mike, folks, you know, it's no real skin off my nose. 20-minute broadcast twice a week. And there'll be good weeks when we're getting a lot of refreshing emails and so on. And I know what they're waiting for, again, I discussed with Mike, is for me physically to be in Edmonton, Alberta, Vancouver area, Ottawa, St. John, New Brunswick. Each of the people on the blind copy list, they've got a core of friends, patriotic friends, numbering up to 25 people. So if we hit these cities, when we hit these cities, they will bring 40, 50, 75 people. There's no doubt in my mind, to the apartment or home meeting. So it's out there, Mike. It's just a case of hanging on. These shows, we hope, are some kind of inspiration. And again, Mike and I discussed the statistics. Do you want to just talk about Occidental Descent for a minute, Mike?
Well, I just as an experiment. That's the American site that I like it quite a bit because he's taken a different approach than the normal person, I guess. And he's just it's OccidentalDescent.com, and he's just taking a different approach where I can't really put it into words. It's pretty sophisticated, but it's not just
the usual Jew crap, or
I wasn't kind of avoiding saying that.
Yeah, well, that wasn't stirring up. That was just pointing something out.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's intelligent writing. So I think it appeals to people with have some intelligence.
Yeah, I got you. So, well, that's beautiful.
I try and cross post from there to your site so that people, they read my post there, they'll click on to British People's League and maybe listen to the radio shows. So
yeah,
our audience a little bit.
Yeah, and Mike and I have been excited, folks, because Occidental Descent, there's been a huge amount of referrals from Occidental Descent to the British People's League website. So again, that's cross-border unity. I mean, you know, Mike's proud of his German heritage way, way back, and I'm proud of my British heritage way, way back. But we've dropped all this childish tribal warfare. If anything, as a memorial tribute to D-Day, etc., that Europeans can work with British Canadians and vice versa around the globe. So, I guess there hasn't been quite as wild a war since then, although been lots of people killed in Vietnam. Yeah.
I think there's something definitely coming domestically. I think white people are definitely fed up, you know, with the situation. And, I mean, just talking to the people, like, come into contact day-to-day basis. The economy's I'm not going to say that word. The economy's really doing poorly. And, you know, unemployment's up by 10% right now. Price of gas is hovering around $4 a gallon. And there's just not a whole lot of optimism out here right now. So there's a lot of people don't think, really feel that it's going to change either. You know, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Could I presume you're talking also about the middle class rather than just street people?
Well, sure. I'm talking about myself and my prospects for the future and my sister. You know, I'm talking about people in my family that are not struggling, but life is getting harder and harder, and the future is looking less rosy all the time. And it doesn't look like there's going to be any end in sight. And so when you hear about, you know, Mexicans getting free health care and, you know, all this special, all the refugees coming over from Somalia and God only knows where, just adding fuel to the fire. And I'm not advocating anything, but I really don't know if you're talking about war before. I don't really, the Tea Party was an attempt to peacefully bring about change through elections. I'm not really sure, and I'm not instigating or advocating anything, but I'm not really sure things can be resolved peacefully. You know,
wow. That's why, you see, I really am pleased that you call in, you co-host these Sunday shows. I'm not trying to butter you up, but, you know, you're an intelligent person, and anyone listening can tell that you're an intelligent, easygoing type. And for you to say that, so we're not talking to, you know, some street rubby that's run on a wine money here. We're talking to an intelligent, middle-class type.
I'm out of wine money, so.
Yeah, well, as you say about people being fed up, I'll slip this in. Good chance to slip it in. I'm really hooked back on the TV indirectly through the bloody internet because I'm a political junkie as well. And so they opened up the parliament here, be the same as when they open up big time with your Washington at the White House, your opening of your government body. So up here, Mike, they call it the reading of the throne speech. Believe it or not, the governor general still represents the queen, whatever. So they're all sitting there, and I'm watching it, all pomp and circumstance. There's the 6 out of the 9 Supreme Court judges in their red and white robes. And the I was counting all the big shots. The whole works were there in the Senate chambers for the throne, the speech from the throne, outlining the government's program. And this is the first time the Prime Minister up here has had a majority, and he's conservative, a lot like George Bush's agenda. You know, pretends he's going to stop immigration and lets them all pour in now as long as you vote conservative. So anyway, so we're watching this, and there's the head of the military standing near the Prime Minister, and it's all a psychological show. A picture's worth a thousand words. Well, after the show, this wasn't noticed by everyone. Right behind the Supreme Court judges, this young page. Now, I don't know, Mike, do they call them pages? You know, the message runners in your Congress?
I believe they call them pages.
Yep, yeah.
Correct.
So we got a young, attractive 22-year-old. It turns out she is Paige, and she's standing there. Within 3 feet, I mean, if she was really a maniac and had something else on her body, boy, oh, boy. Anyway, she's holding a stop sign. She had it tucked in her waistband of her skirt and her jacket. She's holding up a stop, and it's like, I don't know how your stop signs are down there, Mike, but, you know, with the red up here with hexagon.
Right, yeah, same.
Yeah, so she's holding bright red stop sign with both hands, and it's got Stop Harper. Well, of course, he's the Prime Minister. He's about 15 feet from her while they're this very serious. I mean, nobody coughs while the throne speech is read out from the representative of the Queen, whatever. And she's standing right in the middle of the Senate floor with this sign, not budging. So the big, all decked out with his robes of office and his chains of office and the whole bit, an old guy, the sergeant-at-arms, walked over and he, you know, just sort of put his arm under hers so there was no rough stuff. And took her out front. Well, the shock repercussions, opening up Parliament, all the members of Parliament, pop and the whole works there. Could you imagine if she had some kind of real heavy-duty device on her? Holy crap. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that would have set off a...
Holy crap.
Set off a...
Yeah, yeah. So it has set off a security talk, that's for sure. But I guess what I was getting at, tying it in, if Beattie can try and keep on target here for a bit... Tying it on legal target, I wasn't talking about the House of Parliament for those people out there who would like to get us in trouble or me in trouble. Okay, flowing along from what you're saying about people fed up. Well, that girl is just a symbol. She's tied in with these protests, the internet protesters over in Arab lands, they call it the Arab Spring because they all flowed out in the streets as a result of the internet. So these lefties, the left-wing girl, and the G20 protesters, she's tied in with all of them. But there's no doubt it wasn't a direct action on her getting instructions from Greenpeace or her boss types. No, or her beliefs. No, she was out front speaking. She told them she was scared, but something had to be done to stop Harper's agenda, etc., etc. But that's just a small sample. You connect that girl with the internet, so you got the left wing fed up to the teeth. And as you say, the middle class in the States fed up. The middle class up here fed up with the immigration. And I'll tell you, yeah, things can happen up here too. I've got a hunch that the G20 protesters, those young types in the 20s bracket, they're really going to stir something up. They really are with the internet and so on, because they don't give a damn and they're pretty clever. So if, yes, what you were saying, Mike, if the atmosphere wasn't out there, if the taxes weren't being wasted on immigration and all the bullshit and foreign aid, I mean, there's Britain giving away billions to all these third world countries, but they can't pay the heating bill for their old aged.
Right, yeah, it's just terrible. You know, there's going to be, if there's not already, there's going to be young people starving and old people living in the street and...
But see, they are organized. We're organized. I know it's almost depressing at times that I can't have this living room filled with 20 people listening to these broadcasts. Give a big applause. No problem. As I'll repeat it, just to give some inspiration to those people who are listening in who are, and you know who you are. In each city, we've got key people. We just have to visit, and they've got each of them about 75, 80 active people who would show up at the apartment or house meetings. And that's the way we want it. We don't want people to have economic problems on the job. And then that flows into the word racist and all that. And, you know, there's only fear to fear itself, folks, because those of you in the know with these radio shows know the smears that were put out in the British People's League, the idea we were going to have a white pride day for the founder of Canada, Sir John A. Macdonald, on Canada Day, Dominion Canada Day, July 1st, etc. The smears lasted for 3 solid weeks, did everything but say, hang me by the yardarm. They had a Facebook page that this, that, the other, all the left, just the crap come out of the woodwork. Well, what happened? Business has increased. I've never been so busy. So thank you, news media. I'd like to thank the Voice newspaper in Haliburton, Ontario. Thank you very much for the increase in business. And keep it up. I don't give a damn. You smear me once a week. And I'm on this roll, Mike, because it's discouraging to me that some people out there who sympathize with us say, I'm afraid of being called a racist. I couldn't afford to be called a racist. Well, that's true, on the job. But come on, folks. My name's on the front lawn here, John Beatty, on a fine sign to do with my self-employment business. Right in the front lawn. It was not touched. So all the hype in the news media, they can scream against this. It's not working. The middle class smell a rat. Number one rat is the news media. Your turn, Mike.
Yeah, that's very true. I can't really add too much to that. It's really true where they're calling, well, the Tea Party, which is not racist, is constantly being called racist, or they're too white. That just slays me that they're too white. There's not enough brown and black people. And people are just fed up to the point where sometimes there's some capitulation, but mostly people, I think, are sick of it, or they've just become numb to it, or indifferent to it, because they've overused the whole racist card. And anybody with eyes to see can see that multiculturalism isn't working too well, that people don't just get along all that wonderfully that if they're from different races. You know, there's all kinds of problems between the Mexicans and the blacks here in the States. And you know, I think that's all they got is name calling. You know, what else do they got?
Yeah.
I guess what are they going to do when the names stop working?
Yeah.
People,
well,
still standing up. And,
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. Well, I don't want to sound like an extremist, but especially the States, you know, you guys can be proud.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. We're on the 20-minute mark right now.
Yeah, 19 minutes and 37 seconds. Thanks for the tip. So we got a real quickie. Americans have always taken a stand far ahead of Canadians in some regard, although I think we did pretty good in World War II. Anyway, you're sitting on a powder keg, Mike. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I think so, or I think it's becoming a powder keg if the price of gas and everything else stays so.
Yep. Okay, on that note, folks, you going to say goodbye to the world, Mike?
Goodbye, world.
Okay, goodbye, folks. Thanks for listening. Here endeth the June 5th, 2011. Thanks for listening. God bless each and every one of you. Goodbye until Wednesday.